begin with a word of prayer. So if you'll bow your heads, we'll approach our Heavenly Father. Our Heavenly Father, we come together to praise your name with sadness in our hearts. For our brother Jim has fallen asleep. And so we ask for strength, that we may console each other. And we ask you to enliven our faith, so that we can look ahead to that day when the Lord Jesus comes back to the earth and thy kingdom is set up, and we will see Jim again. So be with us as we mourn his loss. In Jesus' name we ask all these things. Amen. Now, for reasons that we all understand, there's only a few of us here this morning, but it's nice to know that many of Jim's friends and people who shared his faith are also involved in this service, taking time out to pay their respects through the online facility. But for all of us, whether we're here or we're listening online, these are very solemn and very sad occasions, because we've lost someone we loved. We've lost a husband, a father, a father-in-law, a grandfather, a brother, a friend, and someone who shared our faith over many years. But what we must try to do today and going forward is to remember the joy that Jim brought into our lives, to remember the impact that he had on our lives, and to feel the privilege that it has been to be part of his life. Above all, Jim would want us to remember that we will see him again through God's grace when the kingdom is restored. Now, Pam's produced for us an order of service, and I know it's been sent out to all the people who are listening online. It's got that lovely picture of Jim on the front. But just to let you know how the service is going to proceed, shortly we read a portion of scripture, and that will be followed by some remarks and remembrances of Jim, so that during that time you can think of your own closeness to him. And then, as we come towards the end of the service, before the committal prayer, we have an opportunity for some personal reflection as we listen to Jim's favourite hymn. Now, Gloria and the family let us know that it was family flowers only at Jim's funeral. And if you're so minded, you can make donations in lieu of flowers to a charity called Meal a Day. And the work of that charity was well respected by our brother Jim. So we'll look at the reading, and the reading is from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, and just 9 verses, the verses 20 to 28. And these words tell us in clear and concise terms some of the beliefs that Jim held so dear. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the firstfruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. But each one in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward those who are Christ's at his coming. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, when he puts an end to all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death. For he has put all things under his feet. But when he says all things are put under him, it is evident that he who put all things under him is accepted. Now when all things are made subject to him, then the Son himself will also be subject to him who put all things under him, that God may be all and in all. When I think about Jim, the word that always pops into my mind is big. Because he was a big man in every sense of that word. Physically he was big. He was tall with a big frame. He had this big booming voice. And it was something that we enjoyed, you know, for many years, Gloria, me, and lots of others who are listening, worshipped with Jim at the Christadelphian Church in Gateshead. And often we didn't have an organist. And for hesitant singers, this is a dire situation. But when Jim was there, it didn't matter. Jim could read a tune, he could follow a tune, and he had this big voice. So even hesitant singers sang with more gusto. And I read something a while ago that explains beautifully Jim and his voice and his singing. And what I read was that when you sing to the Lord, you pray twice. So he was a big man with a big voice, and he had big enthusiasm and positivity. He was great pals with my brother Edwin. They had this mad passion for cars, not just driving them, but taking them apart and putting them back together. And I have to tell you that Jim's enthusiasm and my brother's over-optimism weren't always a good mix. A lot of scary stories, which we don't have time to go into today, but I'll tell you one story about Jim and cars that just exemplify what he was all about. A lot of years ago, we had a day together in Blyth, Jim, Gloria, me and Sylvie, Edwin and Pat. And at the end of the day, we got up to leave because we had to catch two buses to get home. And Jim said, "Oh, it's okay. I'll take you to the pedestrian time tunnel in Edwin's car." Now, Ed's car was a Saab where the gear lever was a stoke on the steering handle, on the steering column rather. So we got in the car, we're chatting away. Jim goes to change gear, and the gear stalk snaps off in his hand. Now, at this time, I'm thinking, I wish we'd got the bus. But Jim didn't miss a beat. He just carried on driving, using his thumb and fingers to change gears with the stub of the stalk, and continued to chat away. And the only mention of snapping the gear stick was, "Oops, I'll need to fix that when I get back." Jim had a big personality, a warm personality. And again, you know, it takes me back to times when we used to go to Sunday school outings. And often, Even in the summer, the weather was a bit like this, a bit iffy, a bit cold. So when you're going there, you're thinking, I'm sure I could be doing something better than this. Now, we know that young children don't care about the weather. It could be snowing, but for them, it's an exciting day out. So we get to the rendezvous, which could be Hampstead Forest or the beach. And Jim would be there, the biggest kid of the lot. And he would spend the day making sure everybody was happy. There was all sorts of silly games going on, and you weren't allowed to isolate yourself. You had to get involved. But the upshot was that when you left to go home, you thought, that was a good day. I'm pleased I came. And the last big I want to mention about Jim, and it's one Jim would have put first, is he had a big faith. And it was a faith that he always wanted to share with people whenever the opportunity arose. So when we look at Jim the man, we have this big man with the big voice and a big personality. And you would think to yourself, well, he's going to dominate everything. And that wasn't the case. Jim was a listener. You know, in his working life, he spent quite a bit of time in sales. And there's a bit of advice that's given to all young salespeople. And it's good advice for all of us. And Jim was fond of using this term. He'd say, you've been given 2 ears and 1 mouth. You should use them in that proportion. But because he was so easy and warm to talk to, and it didn't matter whether he'd known you decades or he'd just met you, that ease and the warmth came across. And while he was keen to let you know what he had to say, you also were aware that he was keen to listen to what you had to say. Jim and Gloria had been married more than 56 years. And just for those who are interested in the Christadelphians in the Northeast, Jim and Gloria's wedding was the first wedding in the Christadelphian Church in Prince Consort Road in Gateshead. And from their union, the son, Ivan, the daughters, Pam and Sandra. And then, even better, 7 grandchildren. James and Lydia and Hannah and Daniel and Abby and Dylan and Emily. I cannot tell you how proud he was, because he saw in you all talents and intelligence that he wouldn't profess to have, but he left a lesson for you and a lesson for all of us. He didn't tell us this, he showed us. And what he showed us was that you can have all the talents in the world, you can have all the intelligence, but if you don't have energy and effort and enthusiasm, you're going to be disappointed. And on the more positive side, he showed us that with that enthusiasm, if you add that to your talents and your intelligence, you'll always be pleased with what you achieve. Now, meeting Gloria changed Jim's life. Not only did he meet the love of his life and have a family that he was immensely proud of, but Gloria and her profoundly introduced Jim to the Bible, to God, and to the Lord Jesus. And Jim listened, and he was curious. And what came out of it was a strong faith. A faith that led to him being baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus on Friday, March the 13th, 1964. And if you do the maths, that means Jim was giving service to God for more than 57 years. And Jim's faith wasn't passive. In fact, nothing about Jim was passive. It was all energy and vigour and enthusiasm. But Gloria reminded me that in January of this year, just before his illness, or the seriousness of his illness, was becoming apparent, Jim presided at a Christadelphian breaking of bread service in Wardle. He led a Bible class about the son of Solomon, Rehoboam. He gave an exhortation to his brethren and sisters in Wardle. And he delivered a Bible study class to all our many Persian and Kurdish brethren and sisters and friends. Jim was a very active person, and people wanted to listen to him because of the energy that came out of him, allied to his conviction. And everything Jim talked to us about with regard to the Bible came from that Bible, because he read that book every day. And so he learned about the merciful God, about the saving work of the Lord Jesus, and what God expects from us if we aim to please him. So that when Jim read from the scriptures phrases like, "The earth will be full of the knowledge of the glory of the Lord," or if we go back to that reading that we heard a little earlier, that Christ was the first one to be raised from the dead. But when Jesus comes back, those who are faithful to Jesus will then be raised from the dead. Or Jim would turn to the last book, the last chapter of the Bible, chapter 22, and in that he would read three times Jesus saying to us, "I am coming back." And to Jim, these things weren't nice words to read. They weren't platitudes. They were promises from God. For the earth that we live in now, and it's always been the same, is full of inequalities and horrors. And what God was promising Jim, and he's promising everybody, is a world that is full of peace and fairness and contentment, because that is what the earth being full of the knowledge of the glory of God means. Jim knew that Christ died so that we can appear righteous before God. He knew that God raised Jesus from the dead. And he believed most passionately that Jesus is coming back to set up God's kingdom. And it is that hope that resides with us, a hope that we will indeed see Jim again through God's grace when Jesus returns. I want to conclude these remarks with some words of Jesus. And again, they are talking about when Jesus is back on the earth and what he has to say to faithful people. The words that are worth listening to, but they're also worth listening to because Jim often closed his prayers with these words. Jesus said to us, "Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from from the foundation of the world. And amen to that. We now have a few minutes to ourselves as we listen to Jim's favourite hymn. He would always call it How Great Thou Art. It's not the formal title, but How Great Thou Art.
Thank you.
God, our Heavenly Father, we commend our brother Jim into thy gracious care and love. Ashes to ashes and dust to dust, but in the sure and certain hope of the resurrection to eternal life when the Lord Jesus appears. Amen.
All right.